Thanks for joining our 2019 Strategy Podcast. This broadcast complements and updates a report we put out in September entitled Turning Even More Defensive, 2019 Investment Strategy. Looking back, 2018 has been a year of low returns. We had anticipated this at this time last year, and we think that the drivers of markets for 2019 will look quite similar to what they've been so far this year. First, G4 monetary policies, and secondly, the prospect of increasing possibilities of trade war and protectionism. Overall, we anticipate 2019 will be another year of modest returns for financial assets. And in particular, in September, we warned that we expect greater degree of volatility going forward and at least one 10% decline in the market, which we've already had. But looking ahead, this current bout of volatility is likely to continue. Let's look at some key regional themes, starting in the U.S. Here we think all the good news is pretty much in the price, and the risks of a policy mistake going forward are rising. In particular, we think the economy is going to slow down as the fiscal boost fades. And in particular, the earnings momentum that we've seen this year, in fact, an earnings bonanza with earnings growth of over 25%, will slow markedly. Overall, we expect GDP growth to be around 2% and earnings growth to be 5% at best, perhaps even lower than that. The second driver in the U.S. is that we think that the policy risks and the risk to recession in 2020 have grown. Economic and market cycles don't die of old age. They typically die when inflation and wage pressures begin to build, monetary policy begins to become more active, and that eventually a policy mistake takes place and tips the economy into recession. During the past couple of years, the Federal Reserve has consistently raised rates about 25 basis points at each meeting. But Federal Reserve Chairman Powell recently suggested that the Fed would become more data dependent and more flexible going forward. In fact, a more dovish pattern than we've seen of late. Nevertheless, I still expect them to consistently raise rates at least until we get monetary policy towards neutral, which is generally believed to be a federal funds rate of about 3%. And in fact, before the end of 2019, I anticipate that the short-term interest rates will reach 3.25%. At some point, the Fed will pause, probably around middle of the year when rates get to 3%, and take a look at how the economy's doing, and then move forward, if necessary, towards the end of the year. The other major risk for the U.S. market and economy is the prospect of protectionism and the increasingly likelihood of a trade war. This is going to be particularly important in 2019 because important negotiations will take place with Europe and Japan and ultimately with China. The Trump administration's tactics seem to be falling into a pattern that prior to negotiations there'll be a lot of tough talk, but in the end the administration will settle for fairly minor changes. This has been the case in the NAFTA discussions and in the Korean agreement, and I anticipate the same thing will be the case for the EU and Japanese negotiations. China, however, is going to be a different story. The scale of the imbalances are much larger, and there's a much stronger worldwide consensus that China is a problem, not only for the United States, but for the global trading system in general. The recent truce reached at the G20 meeting in Buenos Aires is clearly good news, but it's certainly not a long-term solution. In an earlier blog, I laid out a roadmap for what I think needs to happen to put the U.S.-China relationship on a more sustainable basis. It takes two elements, really. One, on the Chinese side, they need to liberalize their trade and investment regime. But this isn't enough. The U.S. has to do its part by lifting its savings rate, and in particular, by reducing its budget deficit. Unfortunately, we're a long way from seeing that combination come to pass. And as a result, I think the U.S. trade deficit is going to continue to grow along with the fiscal imbalance next year and in the years to come. And that this issue on trade, and particularly trade with China, will linger on for many years to come. In the near term, in 2019, there's so much China could do because the imbalances are so large that will satisfy the U.S. in the short term. And at the same time, these changes would be in the interests of the Chinese economy as well. Another key strategic theme for 2019 is that after a disappointing 2018, international markets should outperform the U.S. by a meaningful amount. Looking at the emerging markets, there's beginning to get a little bit of optimism in the market. I do think it's a bit early, but over the course of the 12 months, I do anticipate that emerging markets could generate up to 10% returns. What I'm looking for to become more optimistic is really three things. One, the Fed needs to pause. And as I said earlier, I do anticipate that will happen, but not until mid-year. The second thing, which is related to that, is that we need to see some dollar stability. Emerging markets never perform well when the dollar is strengthening as it has been this year. And I anticipate the dollar will remain strong as long as the Fed is active. But when the Fed moves to the sidelines around mid-year, that trend should end. The dollar should become weakened, and that will be a better environment for emerging markets. And thirdly, we need to see some progress on trade. Trade protectionism obviously is not going to be good for emerging markets. I think the news overall for 2019 will be patchy and noisy, but ultimately there will be progress on the trade negotiations. You do have to bear in mind that 2019 is going to be a year of slower growth than 2018. The good news is that it will be more synchronized. The gap between the U.S. and the rest of the world will narrow, but largely because the U.S. slows down. And secondly, despite stimulative economic policies, I think China continues to confront downside economic risks, not only from trade, but perhaps even more importantly, the process of deleveraging, which is only just starting, will continue for many years to come and will continue to be a drag on economic growth. And economic growth in China, I anticipate, is going to be considerably weaker in the next several years than people anticipate. So overall, emerging markets are cheap. They look set. The fundamentals should come together around mid-year. I do think it's a bit early, but it should be an outperforming part of the world for 2019. On the fixed income and FX side, I do think that there are considerable opportunities there, but not surprisingly, the greatest opportunities are where the risks are greatest, particularly in places like Brazil, Turkey, Mexico. I suggest that you look at my blogs, which I've written on all of these countries in the past several months, and get more details of what my strategic thinking is there. Clearly, there are opportunities. There will be volatility. So they're not buy and hold situations, but for opportunistic investing, there are very attractive possibilities. And finally, the biggest surprises for next year may come out of Europe. Europe has been a terrible underperformer this year and is quite unloved by investors and underowned by investors as well. Couple things to keep in mind. First, clearly growth disappointed this year. Several of the reasons are transitory and are running their course. And while economic growth is not going to be outstanding, it certainly won't be as disappointing next year as this year. In addition, earnings per share growth of about 7 to 10% will outperform the U.S. by a considerable margin and set the stage for a better performance than the U.S. market. Secondly, monetary policy, quantitative easing will end in January, but interest rates are unlikely to start rising until September, or perhaps even later. That would be the surprise if economic growth remains as lackluster as it currently is. And finally, relative valuations in Europe are about as extreme as we've seen for the last 8 or 10 years. And as a result, with the economy stabilizing, not being as disappointing as this year, monetary policy remaining relaxed, and inflation very steady and low, these valuations will begin to attract investors to what are, as I said earlier, quite unloved markets. Clearly, risks are abundant everywhere in Europe, Italy, Brexit, France, Germany. But perhaps most importantly will be the May European elections, in which it's quite likely that further gains by the nationalist parties are going to be evident. And this is an issue that the markets will have to confront along the way next year. So in conclusion, the combination of slower global growth and higher interest rates and tighter monetary policy, particularly in the U.S. and eventually in Europe, will lead to another year of very modest financial market returns. As an example, my target for year-end 2019 for the S&P 500 is 2,900, or about a 4% return. The risk for a 2020 U.S. recession, I put at about 40% right now. It's not yet my base case scenario, but it's certainly something the markets will have to consider throughout the year, and that will add to volatility as we're already seeing. There is a bull case scenario out there. It would involve a breakthrough on trade talks with China, combined with fiscal restraint in the U.S., especially in the context of a more flexible Fed policy, as Chairman Powell has already hinted at. All of this would pave the way for several more years of economic expansion and rising markets. Unfortunately, I attach a fairly low probability to this outcome, certainly in 2019. Third, international markets should outperform the U.S. Emerging markets may take a while to find their footing and start their outperformance later next year, but they could produce the highest returns overall. Europe also could be a major surprise for next year, as it's unloved and the fundamentals are relatively good. And finally, I anticipate the dollar will be strong in the first half, but this will give way to weakness in the second half of the year as the Fed moves to the sidelines. I invite you to take a look at my September blog entitled Turning More Defensive, which I released prior to the recent bout of turmoil. I also encourage you to take a look at individual country blogs and other issue blogs, all which can be found in the archive section of my website. Good luck in 2019 and have a great holiday season.